It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. GM, how are you?
I am outstanding.
Good. Why are you so outstanding?
It's great. Beautiful day. Warmed up a little bit, so I'm doing good.
That's why you're outstanding?
Yeah.
Is the weather all that it takes for you to be outstanding? Your football team,
Floyd Reese, is
4-5. You should not be outstanding. If you were living in that facility right now, would you be outstanding?
No. That's why I'm outstanding. I'm not living in that facility.
What would you be? If I asked you how you were doing at 4-5 and you lived in that facility, what would you tell me?
Oh, I'd probably ignore you. Just keep going to work. I mean, that's...
Not a, hey, Floyd, how you doing?
Yeah. Great. Super. You know, just...
Pat Shermer used to call into the afternoon show on WFAN in New York, and like they were like 0-3 or something. He calls it. He's like, oh, the coach of the Giants, Pat Shermer, joins us now on the show. Hey, coach, how are you? I'm good, Mike. How are you? I'm doing better, and I assume you're doing. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that's, so if you are so we should have J-Rob on the show so we can ask him how he's doing and then say, I bet we're doing better than you.
I know I'm doing better than he is.
Oh, man. How do you think he feels right now?
He's not very happy.
I mean, what's it feel like right now? The feeling like right now at 4-5?
Well, I mean, forget the 4-5 part. When you're not doing what you should be doing, I mean, it's miserable. It's torture. You know, you think you're doing what you should be doing, and, you know, you think you're making progress, and you think all these different things, and then you look at the record, and then you start analyzing, saying, well... What exactly is going on here?
Is it like a heartbreak feeling? Is it like an anxious feeling? Is it like an empty feeling? Is it, what's the feeling like?
No, it's not unknowing. You just don't, you know, you can't figure it out. I mean, how do you go into a game after you're not being penalized?
So it's like a frustrating
feeling. You're not turning the ball over, and you go into a game as important as it was last week and have 11 penalties and 3 turnovers. Now, where does that come from? You know, I mean, so you try to figure that out. And the truth is, there's no answer to it. But you look at it long enough and you look at what you're trying to do and you analyze it and you say, OK, I think we're doing the right things here. Now, that game certainly isn't, you know, a reflection of that. But, you know, are we throwing the ball? Are we catching the ball? Are we running the ball? Are we doing those things? And, you know, if you feel okay about it, then you say, hey, we just got to keep trucking, man. It's that simple.
I don't feel okay about it. But who knows going forward what's going to be what? Who know? I don't know. But today I heard something from the head coach got me a little concerned, Floyd Reese. And one of the words you love in football is identity, correct?
Right.
You know, that is an offensive identity. When the Titans were good, we knew it was going to be hand the ball off to Eddie George, and it was going to be physical football, and that Steve McNair was going to make plays. And the identity of the Titans, it felt like to me, if this counts as an identity, was physical, and Steve McNair and Eddie George were going to make plays. That was the identity of the team. Is that fair to say that was the identity of the offense when you guys were winning a lot of games?
Well, I mean, I could see how somebody would call it that. I mean, that wasn't our identity the way we looked at it.
What'd you look at your identity as?
I mean, we were going to run the ball, we were going to play action pass, and we were going to play really good defense.
And that's what you did for a long time. So Mike Vrabel was asked about the offensive identity of the Titans, and this was his answer today.
What do you guys, as coaches, want the identity of the offense to be?
Well, we want to be sound. We want to be physical. We want to be obviously effective. We want to be able to take advantage of teams' mistakes. I think sometimes I talk to the team as much as I can about being a football team that takes advantage of, you know, mistakes that they make in a run game and in the pass game. If they're, you know, a gap short, that we have to take advantage of it. If they're, you know, voiding a zone in a passing game, we have to be smart enough. They uncover somebody, you know, we have to be good enough and effective enough to take advantage of that. I want to play with an urgency. I think that we have to, you know, play with a sense of urgency and dictate the tempo. And, you know, we have to continue to try to be more consistent when doing those things, because I think there's evidence of a lot of those things. I think a smart football team, a smart offense, a fundamentally sound offense. And you know, when you aren't some of those, that's when you create those longer yardage situations and that get back on track.
So that was just one really long, like, addendum of, you know, what do you want your offense to be? Everything that's perfect. Well, that's not really an identity when he's asked what he wants the identity of the offense to look like. It's just all the things that they're not. He's just saying, you know, hey, I'd like to be an efficient team. I'd like to be an effective team. I'd like to be a – that's like the fans that are mad at Arthur Smith. Why are you mad at Arthur Smith? Well, the offense isn't moving the ball up and down the field. That's why they're mad at Arthur Smith. That's what Vrabel's response is. To me, there wasn't an answer there about what he wants the identity of the team to look like offensively. And that's where I'm concerned, is that a defensive coach is being tasked with fixing the offense, and I'm not sure he knows exactly what he thinks the offense should be in terms of what their identity should
be. Well, I didn't see. I read it differently. I mean, I read it as him trying to cover every spot so that somebody doesn't stick up their hand and say, well, why don't you want to be efficient? And then the next guy sticks up his hand and, you know, don't you want to be effective? Don't you want to be physical? Don't you want to be? So he just went down the checklist and hit them all. So covered my bases. Thank you. Bye.
But it was just like a rambling string of what everybody would want their offense to be.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's hit not what all. This offense needs to be. Well, this offense cannot be that. This Titans offense has proven, if nothing else, that it cannot be that.
He's not selling that to the players. He's selling that to you. He's not selling that to the players. I mean, that's, you know, there's so many things there. He's covering all the bases and saying, okay, there it is. You guys pick and choose what you want.
But I think the fans would like to know what he views the identity of this team being. What does he think it should be? What does he want it to be? What's he like? I really think that's what Mike Vrabel is supposed to do. Is he supposed to get that all figured out and then say, you know what, we're going to be, just like you said, a physical football team that is going to run the ball. Simple as that. We knew it when you were GM. Jeff Fisher was coach. Steve McNair was quarterback. Eddie George was running back. We knew it was going to be a physical, tough team that would run the football and play action pass, and that McNair was going to make plays, and that's what the offense was. This offense, I don't even know what they're trying to be. You know, it's Vrabel on his TV show always talks about running the football as one of the keys to the game. And then he goes out there, and for whatever reason, I know you can give me all the excuses, Derrick Henry gets two carries in the first half.
It's let me give you this too. You know,
Floyd just pulled a post-it note out of his wallet.
Simply because I'm so sick and tired of people throwing words around and that have absolutely no basis for what they're talking about. Derrick Henry has carried the ball 164 times, which is fourth in the NFL. One carry behind McCaffrey, who accounts for 50% of their offense.
Although he catches it more than Derrick does.
Yes, he does. One run less than McCaffrey, fourth in the NFL. Well, we need to throw the ball more to the receivers.
Who says
the
that?
The receiver, it's one of the complaints. It's like fourth down. How can you go for it on fourth down? Well, then we pull in all these stat gurus and get all this information. The stat gurus say, no, he's right. That's right. That's what he should do. So all of a sudden that calmed down. So that's for the Derrick Henry. Here we go. Number of receptions. At this point in time last year, the receivers had 72 catches. This year they have 105. 33 more receptions. The offense that we need to open up this year has 2,100 and some odd yards. Last year it had 1,835. 350 yards more than it had last year. So, whatever you want to choose, whatever you want to gripe about, I mean, go ahead and gripe, but you need some facts. You know, we can't gripe about, he is 17 carries away from being the most used running back in the NFL.
Get him those 17.
17 carries. The difference is the guy that got the 17 more is leading the NFL in rushing. Right now, he is averaging less than 4 yards a carry. all the guys above him are averaging five or more.
Who is the leading rusher?
McCaffrey, the guy, Carson, the guy at Seattle, and I can't remember who the other one was. But anyway, I'm just tired of hearing he needs the ball more. That's all. That's, you know what? That's people like us talking, or some writer someplace writes it, and all of a sudden it becomes grail. You know, holy grail. This is it. Got to get him the ball more. Got to get him the ball more. Need to throw to the receivers. Got to get the ball to the receivers. They're not getting the ball. Fourth down. Why did he go for it on fourth down? That was dumb. I would have never done that. Yeesh.
Did you get those right from John Robinson, those notes right there? Is that where
all you have to do
from?
Is pull up ESPN, look at stats.
So
it's very simple.
So you think the offense is doing a good job?
Did I say that?
No, but that's what your stats are trying to point
all
out to me.
All the gripes that we've heard over the last 6 months, 6 weeks, whatever it is, about Derek needs the ball more. Receivers aren't catching the ball. We need to get it to the receivers more. We need to the red zone. We're perfect since we changed quarterbacks. Since we changed quarterbacks, three out of four games were 400 yards, 300 yards passing. We haven't been that way in years. So, you know, are we not? Are we 4-5? Yes, absolutely. And there's no excuse for that. But there are a lot more complicated reasons than, well, we need to get Derek the ball more.
I really don't think that there are a lot more complicated reasons for the 4-5 than the fact, and I've the only one I feel like that brings this up all the time. You can't kick. You can't kick. We've talked about that. If your stats prove anything, it's that it highlights the fact that the Titans can't kick. Let's take your phone calls. Again, Vrabel throws out just a wild statement about what he wants the offense to be. It's a sheer impossibility. And then Floyd throws out there his facts.
There you go.
And I thought Floyd was
those
very passionate.
Facts.
I think Floyd was very passionate about his facts, which I appreciate. So I've got a theory on the facts we'll get to. 615-737-1025. And does all of this maybe reflect better on Arthur Smith than he gets credit for? 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, we're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
We got to play games that are complementary. And keeping a score close, keeping it, you know, being balanced, complementary, using a running game to give ourselves a chance in a play actions, those screens that we hit, and then decide when we're going to throw the football down the field. So we just need to get going on it earlier and not get behind the chains like last week.
That was Mike Vrabel last night on the Coach's Show talking about complimentary football, complimentary football. So I got a theory. We talked about Vrabel's wacky idea of what he wants the identity of the Titans offense to look like. And Floyd passionately took out his numbers.
Yes.
And Floyd's numbers essentially relate to this, right? Stop me if I'm wrong in breaking down your numbers this way. One, Derrick Henry gets the football enough. Two, the Titans throw to the receivers enough. Three, the Titans are a lot better in the red zone since Ryan Tannehill's taken over as quarterback. And that pretty much, I think, sums up your numbers.
Well, no. I mean, what actually it was I went through and I started thinking about all the things that people get ticked off about Vrabel or Arthur or whomever. And people are always talking about the fourth down plays, which we talked about last week.
But I still think they're dumb. But
they will always talk about Derek not getting the ball enough. You know, always talk about, well, we need to get the ball more to Davis or to the receivers. He's not throwing the ball downfield. You know, I mean, so I just went through and started looking some of those things up and found out that, by golly,
that they are doing those things.
Yes.
I mean, even when Tannehill's taken over as quarterback, he's been throwing the ball. Like, I don't think anyone would doubt. He's got 200-300 passing yard games. Yep. Like, Tannehill is throwing. I like, and I talked about this yesterday, I think Ryan Tannehill's done a great job. And Kayla Anderson from News 2 said she agrees with me. And I don't disagree. So all the criticism comes on Arthur Smith. And I'm wondering if all of Floyd's numbers are right, should Arthur Smith get the criticism that Arthur Smith is getting right now? And my biggest argument, again, and I have stayed out of the making opinions on Arthur Smith so far. Fair?
I guess.
I mean, I've let the callers complain, and I've let you defend. I have stayed out of it. Ian, completely stayed out of Arthur
Smith?
Pretty
fair, yep.
I can't make a judgment on Arthur Smith for a couple of reasons. Number one, Floyd's numbers are pretty compelling. If Derrick Henry's getting the ball the fourth most in the NFL, it's hard to continuously complain that he's not getting the ball enough. Number two, Tannehill's come in and look great. And number three, the team can't kick. I am obsessed with this. I think everybody around town is going to start saying, oh, Jared Stillman, he's going crazy about the kicking game again. But the team can't kick. And if the team could kick, the Titans would be a lot better than 4-5. And even though I don't give Vrabel a pass for a lot, and he drives me nuts, and I, you know, at times I just go bananas thinking about this coach, but I still like the guy. But the team can't kick. And before I get to anything in the offense, the Titans are 26th in points. They've missed half their field goals. They are 7-15. They have never missed this many kicks in a season since they've been the Titans. And they're almost half, they're just a little bit over halfway through. Think about that. They have missed more kicks than they have made. They are 7-15. They have missed more kicks than they have made. So let's just say they make half of those kicks. So they make four more kicks. You're talking about 12 points. Those are 12 serious points when every game you play is a one-possession game. So to me, before I get into blaming Arthur Smith or before I get into yelling and screaming about how bad the offense is, and I agree the offense has got to get better, especially if they're going to want to win this Sunday against Kansas City, but can we not at least give in to the fact that the biggest problem surrounding the offense is that if they don't score a touchdown, there's a 50-50 chance they're not going to score at all. And that is a problem for a defensive team when you can't make field goals. And it changes field position, because if you're missing field goals from the 40-yard line or the 38-yard line, you're giving the other team good field position. It changes the entire outlook of an offensive drive. You drive down the field, you have a good drive, you take time off the clock, you kick the field goal, you get 3 points, the momentum goes your way. It just kills everything when you can't kick. And so before I get into just going bananas about Arthur Smith, can we not just say to ourselves the biggest problem surrounding the Titans before you get into anything is the kicking game? Because if they could kick, in my head, the only game they would have lost, if they could kick, for sure would have lost, is Jacksonville. That is the only game that you look at and say, yep, they would have lost that no matter what happened, because, and Denver, because they couldn't kick. So two games, they would have for sure lost because they can't kick. Everything else is a legitimate question because, again, they can't kick.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you lose your kicker right off the bat. I mean, when's the last time we've had, this is what, the third kicker in 9 weeks? I mean, when's the last time the Titans have gone through that?
You know, 2004, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been, you know, what is that, 12 years? You know, we'll take that every 12 years.
But a lot more than 12 years.
But, I mean, whatever it is. But the point being that you know, you start changing kickers and you have no idea what's going to happen.
I mean, I'm at the point where I'm ready. This is me. I'm at the point where I'm ready to sign Parkey back, have two kickers on the roster, and keep two kickers active on Sunday. I know you think that that's crazy, but they got too many guys that don't play, that don't matter, the extra DBs and stuff like that, that you might need to tell somebody suck it up, because I am ready to take on two kickers. I am, because kicking is the single biggest problem with the Titans, and because there's really nothing more you can say about it other than they need to make kicks. It doesn't get discussed as much as how much people don't like Taylor Lewan right now or Arthur Smith or those kind of things. But kicking is the biggest problem. I don't even know where you are in points if you make your kicks. You know, you're 26th in points. Are you 18th in points if you make your kicks? Are you 7-2 if you make your kicks? I don't know. But I just feel like before everyone wants to cry in about everything else, Floyd's numbers do paint an accurate picture that the Titans are more effective offensively this year than they were last year. And that goes back again to the fact that the Titans Wait for it.
Well, the thing
can't kick.
The thing that I, the point I was just trying to make is that, you know, a bunch of the gripes that we've had, that have been perpetuated, you know, through the media, through us, through whomever, are in fact false. And yet it's, you know, I say it and somebody hears it and so they say it. And then 10 guys say it and, you know, pretty soon that's where you are. And I'm just, and it's easy because it gives, you know, all the people in our business a chance to gripe about something. And they, you know, a lot of guys like to do that anyway. So, and I'm saying there's not, I mean, we all know there are issues. But I'm not sure you can continue to blame those issues.
Well, I think
we'll need to come up with some new ones.
I went right. I just told you the biggest issue. They can't kick. That's the biggest issue. This team cannot make a field goal. That's the issue. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Carl is up next on the Titans. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, man. Look, I'm going to pray that Mahomes doesn't play this weekend. But first off, I got to agree with you about the kicking game. They've at least cost us to Indy and the Buffalo game, and they had a lot to do with the game this past weekend. But look, the Chiefs' run defense is like 25th, 26th, or something in the league. Derrick Henry needs to get 35 carries this weekend. I mean, if we got to win or lose the game by Derrick Henry. Plain and simple, okay? I mean, because the only way you're going to beat Mahomes is you've got to keep him off the field, okay? It's like the old days with Brady. The only way you can beat him is keep him off the field. So they got to feed Derrick Henry plenty of touches because the man is healthy, man. He's begging for the football.
But Carl, to Floyd's point, they're the fourth best. They give it. He's the fourth most used running back in the league.
It don't matter. I mean, we might not even re-sign him this offseason. I mean, goddamn.
No. See, that doesn't matter. The fact that whether or not they sign him next season, that doesn't matter. What matters is you want him to give him the ball more, and Floyd's telling you they give him the ball the fourth most in the league. That's what matters. They're going to give him the ball.
Yeah, they'll give it. I'm going to tell you what now. I'm confident after seeing those numbers. I mean, if he can gain yards, he will get the ball. I mean, I'm convinced of that.
Are you convinced that if the Titans come out for a 43-yard field goal, that they will make the field goal?
Well, no.
That's the problem.
Well, that's not the problem.
I mean, kicking is definitely the problem.
Well, yeah, it's certainly an issue. Yeah, but anytime your kicker gets hurt, you know you're going through this. You know you're going through the carousel.
Not when you were GM.
And that's, I mean, we went through it until we got to Anderson. I mean,
signed the day after Nene got hurt.
Yeah, well, we decided there's one or two weeks you can go through what they're going through now. Or you can go get somebody you know that can make them that is not strong-legged guy. Everybody gets so, just like quarterbacks, everybody wants to get caught up in the arm. How strong's his arm? How strong, what about his leg? You know, what's the longest he can kick? I don't care what the longest is. Just tell me where he's going to be on the field and not miss. And we knew with Anderson, we could go to 42 or 43, and he would not miss. And he didn't. So if we lined up to kick a 46-yarder, we knew that was nip and tuck. I mean, but the coach, that helps the coach. The coach goes out there, is it worth the decision? Is it worth 50-50? And you make the decision based on that.
And it makes it easier. I mean, like if you're going to go out there and you're going to go for it on a 4th-and-3 because it would have been a 48-yard kick for Anderson. I mean, you as a fan say, okay, you know, I mean, why not? Because Anderson's probably not going to hit from there.
And the hard part is when we get these guys and we bring in these guys that are on the street, they're young and strong-legged, and we say, okay, this guy can kick off through the end zone. Okay, can he make a 40-yard field goal? You know, and I think that's where people make the mistake with these guys.
Although, in fairness to Doinker, Cody Parkey, he did make his kicks when he was the kicker. He missed an extra point, but which could have cost you the game against the Chargers. But he did make his kicks for the most part, which is probably the hardest part. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Am I wrong for saying kicking is the biggest problem of the Titans? Plus what Mike Vrabel says about Derrick Henry as a leader and your phones. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025. The game. Hey, let me tell you that ESPN 1025, the game, is sending one lucky listener and a guest to Dallas with the Winter Classic Celebration Flyaway. Listen for your chance to qualify this week at 7, 11, and 3 p.m. A winner by 7 a.m., 11 a.m., and 3 p.m. A winner will be announced on the Friday, November 15th edition of Jared and the GM at 5:30. Your grand prize includes a round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, a pair of tickets to see Leonard Skinner at the American Airlines Center on New Year's Eve, a pair of tickets to the Winter Classic as the Preds take on the Stars at the Cotton Bowl on Wednesday, January 1st. Prizes courtesy of Outback Presents. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
What's Derek like as a leader?
I think that Derek, you know, by being, I would say good, very good. You know, and I think that I try to get him to understand that by his the way he practices, the way he finishes, the way he conditions in the off season, the amount of time that he spends, how he performs in conditioning and in a weight room, you know, the toughness in which he plays with. I think that that's how he leads, and we all have different abilities, and I know that when he does those things on the field, or you watch him in the off season do those things, it certainly would inspire me if I was a player.
That was Mike Vrabel on Derrick Henry as a leader. By the way, I did not see this on the TV broadcast. I don't think a lot of people saw this on the TV broadcast, but apparently Mike Keith and Dave McGinnis picked up on it during the broadcast, the Titans broadcast. Apparently at one point in the game, Derrick Henry was given the football, got like a 7-yard gain or something. They brought Deion Lewis onto the field, and Derrick Henry waved Deion off. What do you think of that?
I don't know.
I'll say this. If that is the case, is what happened, I appreciate that because I don't think much of Deion. Now, if Rabel's and Arthur Smith's trying to call a play and they want Deion out there and Derek's saying, no, I'm staying on the field, it's probably something Arthur Smith's going to have to deal with and Mike Vrabel's going to have to deal with. But at the same time, I don't like seeing Deion Lewis out there, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, I find it hard.
You want to see that before you...
Yeah, I mean, Derek is, as we all know, he understands football as well as anybody.
I'm just saying what I was told was that Mike Heath and Dave McGinnis noticed it and they talked about it. To the phones we go. Gary on Derrick Henry's usage. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I just heard you talking about Derrick Henry's youth, and I think Arthur Smith could help himself out a little if they threw the ball more on first down with Tannehill under the center and switched the equation around instead of running to set up the throw to set up the run. I think if you look back this year, they've been pretty good on first down when they throw the ball from with the quarterback under center. I hang up and take your response.
Floyd Reese?
I mean, we could do that, but if it's incomplete, now you're 2nd and 10, and Henry's going out of the game.
I mean, the option to give Derek the ball more is to throw it more. That's not how that works.
Yeah, now it's 2nd and 15. Derek's going out of the game. I mean, if the objective is, you know, to get Derek more runs, that's probably not the way to do it. But you know, could it help the offense? Maybe it could.
Now, Ian, I need your help with this because my buddy brings up a really good point. Floyd's argument that Derrick Henry's getting the ball enough is what?
The what?
Like, your argument that Derrick Henry is getting the ball enough is that he...
is getting it the fourth most in the NFL. Okay. Really third most. One off the third most.
Okay, well, that's not really the third most. That's really the fourth most. But my buddy has like actually done some research on this. I think he's pretty mad at you right now. He says Derrick's numbers are skewed because he hasn't had a bye. Derrick Henry is 9th in average attempts per game.
I'm just looking at numbers.
Well,
I don't know.
That's what he's looking at. 9th, in my opinion, is probably not good enough. Fourth is probably
good
enough.
Shut up. Shut up.
I'm just saying.
You're just shut up.
Derrick Henry at ninth is probably not good enough.
Well, total rush attempts, we have, what, Dalvin Cook, 177.
Yeah.
Chris Carson, 175.
But that, those Fournette, guys have had
174. McCaffrey, 165. Right. Henry, 164.
Right. Henry's played one extra game.
I see what you're saying, per game.
Yes. And if you look at rushing attempts per game in the league, the Titans are 18th at 25.7. The Niners lead the league at 37.9. Baltimore, 37.4.
Henry must not be getting enough carries. I mean, not Henry, but Lewis must not be getting enough carries.
No, let's not do that.
I mean, that's the way we're going to get that back up there.
By the way, do we count Baltimore at 37.4 carries per game?
No.
Baltimore doesn't count. Now, San Francisco, 37.9, they are running the ball. But Baltimore, I mean, that's all they do is run with the quarterback, run with the running back. So,
and San Francisco's got the two, you know, the two running backs. That
Breida?
Both.
Breida and Coleman?
You know, they both can lead the league.
Breida is a baller. Let's go to Evan, who's up next on the Titans offense. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. I think you guys are making an excellent point as to why stats are for nerds. I mean, Derrick Henry has one less rushing attempt than Christian McCaffrey, but McCaffrey has like 240 more yards than Derrick does. And to the point about Tannehill's 300-yard games, that's fine and dandy. You know, that's more than we're going to get out of Marcus. But how much of that is because of where the game state is and he's needing to throw and getting kind of those, not garbage time yards, but definitely the situation lends to him getting more passing yards. Granted, Marcus is in a lot of those situations and couldn't get those yards. So, you know, maybe that's a push. But about the kicking game, you hit the nail on the head so well because so many people, like, the kicking game is the problem. It's such a basic take. But if you look at how that affects every single aspect of the game, and for this team particularly, I think the most important thing missing a kick does is it takes rest away from your defense. Think about it. You make the kick, you got a media timeout before the kickoff. Then you got the kickoff, then you got another media timeout. You miss that kick, you get one media timeout, and you're missing 4 or 5 minutes of rest for a defense that this team really needs to hang its hat on. So I think kicking is a problem, and the offensive line is a problem because they got to let the big dog eat these full meals and not these little dog
So bags. Let me say, I agree with you. The offensive line, thank you for the point, for the take. The offensive line is certainly a problem. Like, we brought up Nate Davis. We've talked about Nate Davis. We've talked about a rookie right guard. I mean, but I can't get over kicker. Like, if you make your kicks, do we think this offensive line is really that bad? If you make your kicks? And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the fans. Like, do the fans hate Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel as much as they do right now if they make their kicks?
That's like this week's kick, you know, makes it 3-3. Does that change the outcome of the game? By 3 points. I mean, that's the obvious.
Well, I think the first one suck-up miss makes it 3-0.
Yeah, but I mean, they come right down and kick it, so it's 3-3 after.
Right, but you'd get to kick off. They'd get it shorter. You'd get momentum. I mean, you're up 3-0.
Well, yeah, but my point is, what, the first series of the game to kick a field goal. Now, you'd much rather make the field goal. Don't get me wrong, but whether you make it or you don't make it, it's probably not going to have a dramatic outcome on the end of the game.
I disagree. You're driving
Whereas
down.
As if you kick the last field goal to either win it or lose it, now that has a dramatic effect.
I think those field goals along the way do matter. Those 3 points you get in the first half, I think do matter. I could be wrong.
3 points always matters.
Like I, and that's the, why I prefer to is, take my points than kick.
But what was the final score of the game?
Well, they lost by 11.
Well, three's not anything then.
No, yes, three, it is. Because then at the end, when Suckup missed that kick, you're down by 8. So instead of having to stop and kick the field goal to get yourself down by 8, when you then have to recover an onside kick, you are now down by 8. You're going for the tie. Changes it by an entire possession.
Okay.
How am I wrong about that?
I didn't say you were wrong. I just said okay.
You laughed. You laughed as if it were wrong because I said it.
Well, that's generally speaking the theme.
Okay. But, so the Titans.
But no, I didn't say that.
Suckup went to kick. Suckup's missed kick.
Hey,
a minute and a half left. Okay. If you're down by 8 instead of down by 11, you're not kicking right there.
I'm not
you're
talking.
You're going to tie the game.
I'm not talking about the last kick. I talked about the first kick.
Right. I'm saying if you get the first kick.
Which is what you're talking about.
Right. If you make the first kick, then you're down by 8 instead of being down by 11 at the end of the game. So instead of bringing Suckup out to try
that
field goal,
but if
he
we would have made the one that he, as we were moving down, you would have been down by 7.
8.
What was the final?
I think you were down. Oh, no. Yeah, it was 10.
It was
you
7.
Got
yeah, he would kick the field goal, so he'd go down an onside kick and get the ball back and hopefully go score a touchdown, tie the game.
Right. My point, though, is if you make the first kick, you don't have to make that kick, and you're trying to tie the game on that drive.
Well, yeah, but the drive failed.
It only failed because you kicked it.
Well, yeah, but if you're going for it, I don't even know. I don't have my book here. What was the down and distance?
I think it was a third down that they ran the kicking team out there. Remember, because Trent Green on the broadcast.
Yeah, well, what's the distance? I mean, you know, you've got to. You're going to have to score a touchdown and go for two.
I don't know. I think you would have had to score a touchdown because you got the two with the Tannehill run in. So what you would have done is you would have at that point been down by 7, and you would have had you at that point would not have even been thinking about a field goal.
And where is it? He got sacked just before this all came. I mean, this is
so the missed field goal for Tannehill. The missed field goal for Tannehill was a 4th and 3 at the Carolina 26. So now you're going for it on 4th.
What was it? Well, yeah, what was the third down play?
Spike with 105.
Oh, no time.
Yeah, so if the Titans were on the move down by 7, you got a 2nd and 10 at the Carolina 33. Tannehill complete to Janu for 7. Tannehill spike, Suckup misses the 44-yard kick. Now, everything changes because if you're down by 7 instead of down by 10, it's probably not easy just to throw it to Janu for 7 right over the middle. I mean, all of that changes, right. And I'm not denying that that's the case. I'm just saying that I still think kicking is the biggest problem with this team. Before we get to anything else, kicking is number one, and it's just not sexy to talk about. Chris Sanders, former Titan, will join us next. What does he think about this team and the state they're in at 4-5? It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, authentically American. That's right. Check out Forbes. Did you know that less than 3% of apparel worn and made or worn in this country is made in this country? Well, Authentically American is the next iconic brand that is truly American-made, and they are out to change that. And you can start right now at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. You can get, again, the sweatshirts like we have, the hats, the polos, the jackets, the sweats, whatever. They got it. That's why I love it. Scrubs, they got it. AuthenticallyAmerican.us is where you need to go. Use my name, Jared, for 20% off at Authentically American. That's Jared, J-A-R-E-D, for 20% off at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Again, the revolution is coming, and people are going to be wearing Made in the USA because it's of higher quality. That's why I wear Authentically American, and you should too. Authentically American, online at AuthenticallyAmerican.us, promo code Jared, J-A-R-E-D, for 20% off. Chris Sanders next, Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chair to the GM, Titans 4-5, Kansas City in town on a Sunday. Pregame show starts at 9:30 live from the George Jones. It'll be yours truly, King Handsome, along with the GM and, of course, Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver who joins us now here on the program. Chris, how
yes,
worried are you about the Titans at 4-5? Let's get right to it.
Just a little bit, but there's still a lot of football to play. I just think if they just work on the little things, and some of the little things that I'm going to talk about is if they just start fast. I mean, if you look at the games that they lost, Broncos, Jags, and Bills, all the reason was penalties, and they started slow. So I just think that as an individual, if I was on that team, I would just look and say, what can I do as a player to get better? And I think all these guys need to look in the mirror and say, you know what? What can I do as an individual to get better and collectively come together and try to win a lot of ball games? Because they still have a chance.
How does a team turn it around and make a run like they're going to have to make at the back end of the season?
I mean, it's all about an attitude. I mean, it starts in practice. You got to have an attitude running around. So attitude blocking a 3 technique, the 5 technique, have an attitude catching interception. That's where it starts. It starts in practice. We can talk about it all day long, and we can talk about it on Instagram, and we can talk about it on Facebook. But those guys just have an attitude that we have to play better. We can talk. It's enough talking about it. Just go out there and do our job individually. Not individual, collectively, and individuals you make the plays they're capable of making.
Chris, I'm sure you heard Eddie George and some of the things he said about how do you view things like that?
Well, leadership.
Well, yeah.
You talk about what he said about Taylor Lewan across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm going to say this in a respectful way. I respect Lewan as a player, and I don't know him off the field and, you know, what he does as a husband or a man, but I'm just going to talk about the player. You know, when you talk about leadership, leadership makes everybody around you better. You know, when I played with Eddie George wasn't a rah-rah guy. You only seen him a couple of times. I would follow Eddie. I would follow Lorenzo Neal. I would follow Joe Bowden. I would follow, Marcus Robertson. Because the way those guys work and the way they practice, the way they responded, the way they looked at film, the way they carried themselves, that's leadership. I don't want to hear a guy talk about, well, I'm going to do this and talk about busting with the boys. I understand. I respect that. I don't want to hear that nonsense. I want to hear if you're going to block the three technique, the five technique, whatever technique you have to block, I want you to dominate your man. That's leadership. I mean, you know, I watched Eddie George. I watched Eddie George when he came in 1996. I watched him at the Ohio State University. This dude, after practice, we would do two-a-days. This dude is lifting weights. This dude is doing an extra workout. That's the kind of cat that I'm going to follow. I'm not going to follow a cat that's going to say, you know, hey, I'm going to just get better and get energy. I'm just not going to do that.
I always felt like being a player, and not necessarily now, he's an all-pro player, and that's great. There's no problem with that.
No doubt.
But it's not necessarily being a player, you're not talking about you got to be a Pro Bowler, it doesn't count.
Right, right.
You got to be something that just goes out there and does what the heck you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Guess who I would follow? Remember Rodney Thomas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did Rodney Thomas work?
Yeah.
And here's the crazy part about it is he played a little bit of running back when Eddie came in, but he played special teams. That's all he basically did. He'll come out when Eddie was tired. But the one thing that he would do is he would stick his face in the pile when it's on kickoff return, whatever you ask him to do. I'm going to follow a guy like that as opposed to a guy just talking about doing it instead of being about it.
Chris Sanders with us. I do wonder, what is the biggest problem facing the Titans? Is it the personnel's not good enough? Is it the coaching's not good enough? Is there the leadership not good enough? Or is it, as I've said, I think the biggest problem is the fact that they can't kick a field goal. What do you think the biggest problem with this team is?
I think it's execution in all phases of the game. I mean, you hit it right on the head. Look at special teams. You missed three field goals this week, and the weeks before you missed four field goals. And then you look on offense, you have eight guys doing the right thing, and you have two guys doing the wrong thing. So it's not a talent-wise. Look at the receivers around the league. I think we have some of the best receivers in the league. Look at our offensive line. We're okay at offensive line. Look at our tight end position. I think we're one of the best in the tight end. I mean, look at our secondary. I think our secondary is one of the best in the league. But what's the problem? It all boils down to guys executing. If I can't execute if I'm in cover two, if I can't execute if I'm in cover three, if I don't execute with running around and not catching the ball, then I'm not going to be successful. But if everybody comes together collectively and does their job, now you can be successful.
When you look at this Kansas City team, tell me what you see when you look at these receivers and the quarterback.
I see everybody and their mama that is fast. Everybody on that team is fast. The mascot is fast. I mean, seriously, there's so much. Look at Tyreek Hill. I mean, you got Watkins. You got guys that are explosive. And then take those guys away. Look at Kelsey. Kelsey's an explosive tight end that actually can play wide receiver. You know, and I think, man, that, you know, we're gonna have a time on our hand, but we got to have the attitude of when we played them in the playoff games that everybody was talking about, you know, all the talent they had and, you know, what they can do and the speed they had on the outside. But they came and they hit Kansas City in the mouth. They hit them so hard that they knocked Kelsey out. They got to approach this game the exact same way. Say, you know what, I understand you got Tyreek Hill. I understand you got Watkins. I understand you got Kelsey. I understand if Mahomes is playing. I understand you got them guys. But guess what? You got to beat me today. I don't care what you did in the past. You have to beat me today, and that's the kind of attitude that these Tennessee Titans got to have.
Chris, what do you make of the fact that when the Titans play the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Packers, those kind of teams, they go out there and they put in incredible performances? Kansas City this week,
right.
It feels like they're going to need one of those kind of performances like Philadelphia last year. Why have they been able to do that, and why have they really struggled against good teams this year? They have not beaten a good team. What do we make of that fact, and what's going to have to happen Sunday?
It all goes back with, you know, I said a little bit before, is attitude. I mean, I mean, look at when they played the Falcons this year. Everybody was talking about the receivers that they had on the perimeter. But look at the mindset that Butler and Logan and those guys had. They said, you know what, let me go one-on-one against Julio Jones. Let me go, you know, on Ridley. Let me be the guy to cover that guy. So they got to approach this the same way when they're going against the Kansas City Chiefs. Say, yeah, I understand that you got some talent, but we got some talent too. You're coming into our house, and you're talking all this mess, and everybody's already crowned you to go to the Super Bowl. Hold on. You got to come in this house and take a whooping, and that's how they got to approach it. Man, I wish I was playing this game. No, I'm serious, because you know what, Floyd? These are the games that you want. Yeah, everybody's talking bad about me. Yeah, they said I can't win no games. But guess what? Let me prove to you that I'm still a dog in this hunt, and that's the kind of attitude that these cats got to have.
What, from a schematic standpoint, yeah, what's one or two things they got to do to slow this offense down?
Man, they can't go cover. They can't cover one, go man to man. That's one thing they can't do. I just think that they got to make the Kansas City Chiefs earn those points. You can't give a big explosive play, one play for 75 yards. You can't do that. I think schematically, you know, they just got to make sure they keep those guys in front of them and make sure they tackle. And then on offense, I think we got to have a 10 or 12 play drive and make sure we keep Mahomes and those guys. If Mahomes is playing, keep those guys on the sidelines, convert third downs, and make sure that you have those long drives so those guys can come on the field and make plays.
Last thing for you. Against Kansas City Chiefs team, how big is the loss of Malcolm Butler going to be with LaShawn Sims taking his spot?
Okay, you got Watkins. You got Tyreek
Hill. Hardman.
Them jokers can run. I mean, I think it's. I think they picked up what they re-signed. Ty Sims. What's his name again?
Ty Smith.
Ty Smith. He better get ready, because it's going to be a track meet. I mean, they're going to have to just keep everything in front of them and make sure that when these guys catch the pass, they have to tackle. I know that's kind of a coach's cliche, but if they can just tackle and keep those guys in front of them and make the Kansas City earn those points, I think we'd be successful.
Chris Sanders, former Titan receiver. Chris, we will see you Sunday.
See you Sunday.
At George Jones.
Y'all take care, guys.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know what I should ask Chris? I can't believe I forgot. Ask him how awful the pregame experience must have been for you guys on Sunday with me not being there, with me being in California.
Do we tell you what a sheer delight we had, how much fun it was, and how much knowledge we spread throughout? It was spectacular.
I know you're lying, but I know Chris would tell me the truth. Chris would tell me the truth about how tough. Oh, my goodness gracious. But I would say, as far as the Titans, for this game Sunday, it's like I don't even want to get to the Chiefs. And we've always talked about this, that some teams are, you know, four-day teams where we can talk about that team for 4 days. Dallas when they play them, New England when they play them. We can literally talk about the Patriots for the entire week, and it doesn't get boring. Kansas City is definitely a four-day team. In fact, they're definitely a three-day team, which is where we are now. They're honestly probably a four-day team. They are that good. And whether or not their quarterback plays, I think, is a story. Like, that is, if Mahomes doesn't play, it's not like Matt Moore's not putting up 48 points a game too, but I think it is still a legitimate issue as to whether or not the quarterback plays. But
he's practicing today.
He's going to play. I mean, there's no, in my mind, there is no doubt about it. Because if he wasn't going to play, they would have shut that down Monday morning, said, nah, it's not responding like we'd like. And he's playing. He is playing on Sunday, which is a whole nother dynamic. And we will get into the Chiefs today because, honestly, the Chiefs are that good. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. I tried to tell Floyd Penn State was going to be in the four last night. Trevor tried.
Hey, as long as Clemson's not there, I'm good.
To tell Floyd that Penn State was going to get in there. I bet Floyd... Penn State not getting it. Penn State is in the four. But to me, the single most laughable thing of the entire night, and why it doesn't even make sense. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, CSPN 102.5 The Game.